This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And good evening for Wednesday, November 19, 2014. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here. Looking forward to it.
And tonight our program is on good etiquette for life. We're going to talk about various aspects of etiquette that make life a little easier, a little more enhanced. We're also going to get into a couple of areas of etiquette for anomalous investigations. So just some good common sense advice that we'll discuss tonight. Of course, we welcome all those listening live and all of those listening to the archive. If you're listening live and you want to call in tonight, we've got Michael Kelly here screening calls. Welcome, Michael.
Hey, it's always great to be here. It's going to be another great show tonight. And like always, we always love to have any questions or comments that you might have. And you can reach us by calling in at 714-459-3973.
Sounds good. And you want to call in because Michael is...
It's a pleasure to talk to. Absolutely.
There you go.
I can't say it enough.
He is. That's right.
By his own admission. All right. So we'll get to our program in just a moment. Let's get through with our introductory comments and professional beliefs. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. We operate a couple of metaphysics schools, the Institute of Metaphysical Humanism, Humanistic Science, I'm getting tongue-tied here, IMHS for short, where we offer bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics. You can find out more information at metaphysicsinstitute.org. Also, the International College of Metaphysical Humanism, Humanistic Science, there I go again. It's the pollen in the air. That's it. Shirk responsibility. Anyway, you can take standalone courses at ICHS. You can find out more information at ICHSworld.org. Now we'll do our profession of beliefs, which we do each week. The spiritual philosophy of the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism is based upon 9 principles of belief. They are, 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. We invoke and exert the counselor and guru within. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these three synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these principles, please visit us at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So tonight we're talking about etiquette, good etiquette for life. And there's a number of aspects of this that we're going to cover, and I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Hunter to start us out.
Oh, well, etiquette. I love this topic. I think that one of the things all of us find these days is this quick, sharp communication between people, and there's some, you know, these wonderful nuances that are missing in our human dynamic, and that's kind of how I see it. And it's sometimes it's just really good manners, but, you know, we write about this, or you've written about this in the course material, Dr. Kelly, about email etiquette, body language. It's all so important. You know, these really quick text messages that go back and forth, or, you know, not saying hello or goodbye and such. You know, I mean, it so much gets lost in our dynamic. But equally, what we'd like to talk about is, like, to take that even further than just about emails, is it's really about saying please and thank you and looking at somebody when you're talking to them. If somebody is speaking to you, acknowledge them with a physical gesture. And not just, you know, waving your hand at them like, go away. So there's these, you know, some basic human etiquette, I think, that we're going to try to cover as many little points. Now, if anybody has any questions, please feel free to write that in the chat or give us a call. Because a lot of do's and don'ts, I believe. So.
Yeah. So you know, what's the first area?
Well, let's cover emails first. That's okay. Where your specialty, too. So go
all
ahead.
Right. Emails. This is something we teach in the IMHS degree program, of course. Email etiquette is rather simple. It's use a salutation, you know, like hi so-and-so or hello or dear. You know, it's like writing a letter. Now, at least the first time, and we might communicate with people several times a day. They at least start it out that way. Good morning, so-and-so. You know, how are you doing? Hope your day is fine, that sort of thing, whatever. And then get into the body of your message. And don't forget to sign it with your name so they know who you are. This is a big thing because one of the things we don't want to do is get lost in technology. We want to maintain the human element, the human aspect of it. And people can get so lost with just abrupt, point-blank messages, whether it's text messages or emails, they just launch right into it. I've gotten emails many, many times where they launch into the message. They're not very clear, and they don't even use their name. So I don't even know who they are. All I have is an email address, and their email address may or may not contain their name. So, you know, they might be a student. They might be a prospective student. They might, I don't know who they are. So I have to write them back and ask who they are, and et cetera. And so use a salutation. Make it personable. Remember that just because we have this World Wide Web, we don't hide behind the screens. There are real-life people around here. We're all real-life people, and we want to be personable. So use that. When you write the body of your message, proof it. Go back and reread it. And it's, you know, it's the more important it is, the more you should proof it. But you should proof all of them. Do not write in all lowercase letters. You know, I understand when we're texting, we're kind of limited. We might need to do it quick, and so lowercase is going to have to suffice in many cases. But when you're doing an email, you know, write it correctly. Don't write in all lowercase letters. I mean, I get applications that are all in lowercase. Everything's in lowercase, the name and everything, and it's, honestly, it's not only is it sloppy, it's unprofessional, and it's lazy. So you want to make a good impression, so write properly. Those are a few of the areas for email etiquette. Oh, well, one last thing.
Yeah.
Do not, if you're emailing more than one person, do not put everybody's email address in the CC field.
Hallelujah.
Put it in the BCC, which is blind carbon copy. If you're going to email a bunch of people, especially people that don't know each other, you know, then their email addresses get around and the spammers can get a hold of them. So put them in the BCC because email it to yourself. Put everybody else in the BCC field, and that way nobody can see the other email addresses. Go ahead, Doctor.
You know, basically what we want to get across is when you're writing to somebody, you want to give the impression they matter.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Like you're they're important, because this is what happens when, and I've had emails from, from cell phones, and again that lowercase, I don't even know who they are, you know, and it's like, because I don't have them logged anywhere, it doesn't, you know, give me, and I think, well, it doesn't matter. That's my first reaction, you know, because it's, so they didn't take time to write that very well. I guess it just doesn't matter. So this is where we want to make sure that you write as though who you're writing to is important, and you will have a way better dynamic, a way better relationship with people. And you will actually find that people will say, wow, isn't that nice? And they'll start doing the same. It's kind of like it spreads. They start saying good morning or hello or how are you or, you know, even a, hey, Doug, how you doing today? You know,
speaking of that, that's another.
Yeah.
Just in person.
Yeah, well, it's to be interested and to show that people are important. And this is where we all have to up our skills a little bit. I came from a different generation, so did you, Doug, where manners was everything. You know, good service, good manners, you know, would look at the customer when you give them their bag. You know, it was just a whole different time. Now everything is just so quick. And quick often translates to rude. And people don't mean to be rude. Nobody's saying, well, I'm going to be really rude to these people. I mean, it's just that it translates to rude.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to know how our energy, and let's just talk about energy for a moment. It's how my energy is kind of coming out of me and in my aura and how that affects other people's auras. That in and of itself is a huge dynamic. I haven't spoken yet. I haven't moved my body yet, but just the energy that I have in my body, the energy I have in my mind is emanating. So we want to have a good energy because people deserve to be treated like respectfully, like human beings. People deserve good treatment. So have that energy from inside yourself and be able to let go of wherever you've just been. I know people have made comments about me, how do you do that? I've been kind of upset over here, but I just change and I'm happy over here. Well, it's because whoever I'm now talking to doesn't deserve to be treated badly because I just had a moment. And that requires me to be disciplined to understand that, you know, what I need to say or what I'm feeling is in the moment. Everything is temporary. And being able to shift. And if I have to debrief myself, I'll do it later. Because who I am now talking to deserves the best of me, and they deserve my attention. So that's that first, that energy, and then have an interest in someone. And I truly believe this absolutely, and it's proven time and again, when you show an interest in others, they will also react in kind. Now, maybe it's still new to them and they don't know how to be interested in other people, but if you have a long enough, you know, dynamic, it starts to kind of, it's by osmosis, right? We just start to become infectious. So it's to think of your energy. And body language, you know, we've talked about this, and actually you have it in the study material too, Doug. How much is, you know, eye contact, verbal, and body language?
Yep, that's all obviously very important. And it's not only crucial when you're, you know, in person with somebody, but you can also pay attention to the words and the tone in emails as well. Make sure they're upbeat. In fact, one thing I didn't quite finish up with regarding emails, and then we have a question in the chat regarding it, is yes, sign with your name, but sign with something like, you know, like if you're answering a question, say something, I hope that helps, exclamation mark, maybe even a smiley face. And then sign your name. You know, you can type in sincerely. You can type in have a great day. But keep the tone of your emails upbeat and positive. Even if you're dealing with customer service issues or, you know, somebody sends you an email that it's obvious they didn't read something, read a previous one, Don't go with the judgment thing. Just answer the question. Keep it upbeat and positive.
You know, in as Nate has asked, you know, do you need to sign sincerely, yours truly, et cetera, in emails? Some people like their signature. You know, they have a signature sign off, like cheers, comma.
Mm-hmm.
I usually do bright lights. You know, I just send bright lights to everybody. Mine's bright lights, you know, Vicky or Dr. Hunter, whatever's appropriate at that time. So you might find that, Nate, that you like, there's something that you would like to be known for, like that would be your signature salutation kind of thing. Don't use namaste. You know, don't use that.
No.
It's not cool.
Well, that's a matter of preference, too. So if you want
to
use it. But
yeah,
it's pretty common, and I don't know, I kind of like it because to me it makes sense of, or it means, you know, I bow to the divine in you type of thing. I don't use namaste. A lot of people do, but whatever flips your switch, just keep your emails upbeat. And
well, it's a different language, so I prefer to stick with, you know, something that's in our own language, or, you know, that would be, you know, whatever my ancestral language is, you know.
I just use adios or sayonara, you know. Keep it in language.
True.
Just that's, kidding.
Yeah, you know. So it's, you know, find that little thing that you would like to be known for, you know, in your emails, I think is, that's kind of my approach to it. And maybe it's just a thanks. Always say thanks at the end of it. Little comma or, you know, or thank them again for, and I, cause you know, when people write to me, the first thing that occurs to me is somebody took the time to write that.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that. And somebody's actually taken the time to say hello and, you know, this is my issue and can you help me out? And I say, thanks for writing and thanks for asking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not assuming, you know, an answer and they're not angry. They're not anything. They're just really genuine. I appreciate that. So I acknowledge it. And I think that translates in our dynamic. At least I hope it does. And so that those are little things that you can do for yourself that you become known for.
Good point.
So,
What's the next one on your list?
Well, you know, what I'd like to, I have this thing about good manners with food. I think that it's so important that, for one thing, I think we've lost a lot of really good socializing. Food is such a wonderful social extension and collection of all of us. You know, we all have that in common. And I like people to put their phones away. And there are exceptions, you know, just sitting around and you're at a lunch or you're at a supper and, you know, the babysitter's going to call or you've got an emergency or something. And everybody understands that nowadays. But undivided attention, I put my phone on mute. And I figure there's nothing that important that can't wait for an hour, you know, or that's mm-hmm. that's my viewpoint. Of course, I don't have kids at home, and there's no big urgency in my life, unless it's, you know what I mean, it's rare occasions. So the first thing would be, please put your phones down, put them away, put them on mute, and be present in your dynamic with, you're trying to have a relationship with people, and the moment, the moment you start answering a phone, you now have extended that into whoever's on the other line, you know, and it's not just rude, but it changes the energy. I'm a big one on energy, you know, so it's just try to do that. And the other is, you know, your basic manners. I know I joke a lot with people about this, but man, I can read all kinds of nuances with people and how they eat. Truly. And, Kim just said a comment in the chat. She finds it so sad when she goes out to dinner and looks around and sees entire families on some device and not interacting. And this is my point of, you know, to have it, just put the technology away for a minute. That's all. Just put it away and actually look at people and have an interest. And one of the things that I would even do with my kids as they were growing up is I'd take them out of school and we'd have a half day of, you know, mom time. each one would get one-on-one time. And I can't imagine what that would be if we're all in our little phones.
Yeah, well, it's, and speaking of phones, too, be courteous of people around you when you're talking on the phone.
Yes.
You know, how many times have we seen people who have a conversation, sometimes more intimate, you know, and they're loud and they talk loud and they talk like there's nobody anywhere around. You know, I was in an airport once waiting for my flight, and there was this person looking right at me and talking. I was just walking, and they were walking my way and looking right at me and talking. I said, "Excuse me." They didn't flinch. They stopped. They didn't flinch, and they continued their conversation. They had a Bluetooth earpiece in that I couldn't see. It was on their other ear, so I couldn't see it. But they were on the phone, and they didn't even see me, even though they were looking right in my direction. And they were talking loud, and I saw this so many times. You know, if you're one of those people that talks loud on your cell phone when other people are around, stop it. We don't like it. Nobody likes it.
Yeah.
You know, nobody does. So don't do that. That's discourteous. It's disrespectful, and it's private. It's your stuff. We don't want to know about all that stuff.
No, I don't want to know. It makes you want to call security and say, "Excuse me, this somebody hasn't taken their medication."
No. Really?
I mean,
they've taken too much.
Yeah, there's something wrong with this individual. You know, they're talking to air, because you see that walking down, the streets, and, you know, the old guy in his long jacket and his beard, and he's driving to himself, you know?
Now, if you do talk to yourself and you don't want people to think you're crazy, go get a Bluetooth earpiece and just put it in. It doesn't even have to work. You can say, just point to it, and I'm on the phone, you know. Just kidding.
Oh, but it's true. So, they, you know, I'm a big one on manners. I'm a big one on, you know, having, even if it's the waitress, please be respectful of people who serve. Please, please. It will be the fastest way for me never to have lunch with somebody again if they're rude servers.
Yeah.
These are human beings just trying to earn a living. And mind you, when they have that high-pitched, squeaky voice, it grates on me a little bit, and I wonder if they all go to the same vocal school. But, you know, it's like, bring the tone down. But it's to be, you know, just at least respectful. Don't demean people because you think you're superior. It just drives me crazy.
Well, let's talk about some, you know, greetings and stuff. And this is where the good etiquette can really make a difference in relationships, especially professional relationships. But, you know, when you meet people, "Hi, how are you?" You know, and mean it, and ask. And when somebody says, "Hi, how are you doing?" you say, "Good, thanks. How are you?" You know, be pleasant, be courteous, be gracious. When somebody does something for you, thank them. And if it's at least twice, and if it's really significant, even more than that. But make sure they understand that you're appreciative, and always thank people when they do something for you. Always.
But, you know, it just seems that we live in that kind of a world now where we really want to get that across. I think there was a time in life where we could just say, "Thank you very much." And it was felt. But now we have to reinforce it so that it's like we have to say it three times for it to be felt, you know?
Yeah.
And so we have to remember that, again, we want to really get the point across that we are grateful and we are, you know, appreciative of people and just being kind. You know, I tell you, kindness can go a long way. You know?
Yes, yes, be kind. You know, let's talk about driving. You know, you're on the road. Be courteous. You know?
Maybe we shouldn't talk about driving.
don't try to one-up the other driver. Don't always need to be in front. You know, don't drive like you're the only person on the road. Go with traffic. Don't slow traffic down. Just go with traffic. You know, all things being equal and there being no danger present, just go with traffic.
You know, I really, this happened. I live in the country, and as a matter of fact, I live in the mountains, so I live in these long, windy roads, and there's a vehicle in front that would go faster and then slower, and then faster and slower. And I thought, should I be, you know, calling, because maybe they're drinking. But then I pulled up close enough, I could see that they were just really old. You know, it's like 90 years old. And I went, oh, okay, kick back. There's nothing you can do. He's in his own little world.
Right.
You know, it's only for a few miles. Never mind. You just have to chill out. When people start getting angry and frustrated and they want to pass him, and yeah, that's when danger happens, and that's when people get into trouble. So just chill. Go with the flow. You know, nobody's getting there any faster. You know, if you want to get there in one piece, just chill out. Just stay behind and do your best.
Yeah. There's a comment by Jan in the chat room. I often say, I appreciate what you did rather than thank you, because the latter has become such a common, thoughtless response.
Good point.
For so many people. That's a good comment. I appreciate what you did. And that's another nice way it reinforces it.
And I've also, in occasion, started saying, I appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Not just what you did. It's because there's a kindness behind the gesture sometimes. So, yes, I appreciate what you did. That's great. But I appreciate you for what you did. And when it's appropriate, just when it's appropriate.
Right.
It's, you know, because there's some people who are just so good. And I say, you know, I really appreciate you, like who you are. Like, you're awesome. And it's an acknowledgement that we don't get enough of. And just to, again, that interaction. And I'm always, like, moved inside. I'm moved when somebody says, well, you know, thank you for what you did for me. I'm moved by it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I want to make sure that no matter how rude people are around there, no matter how they assume bad things, I will not be them.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse.
And related to the road etiquette, Jan also says, going with the flow in Houston is at least 80 miles per hour. Well, you know my philosophy. If it's worth driving to, it's worth driving too fast. I'm kidding, but not really. Sort of.
Do they not have a slow lane that you pull over on one side? I guess not. Some roads, hey.
Yeah.
You know, it's here's the problem. If you go slower than the speed limit, that is an accident waiting to happen because everybody behind you wants to pass, and their timing can suck. So I know a guy flew by me the other day, and I went, ooh, windy road, pal. I don't know if you're a local, but if you were, you might be not doing that, you know.
Yeah.
So it could be a tourist. So she says, yeah, that's the 80 miles an hour lane. That's funny.
Wish we had one.
Yeah, we don't either. But fast lane's even faster, she said.
That's more for Houston.
No, I have come to appreciate, you know, again, mountain folks where I live, because I've lived in other places where it's really fast. People are fast, and they're stupid when they're fast, honestly. Out here, it's like if there's a big storm, people just stay home until the road's cleared. They chill out, because you know, when there's accidents here, they're really, really bad. There aren't too many fender benders. They happen, but it's not often. Whereas other places, like there's lots of accidents when the weather gets stupid because people don't change their psyches, right? So it's, you know, the first snowfall of the year, if you happen to live where there's snow, either stay home or go slow. So.
All right. Yeah. So what's next on the list?
Well, food. I really do want to talk about food. People who take up way too much space at the table, you know, with the elbows. Shoveling food in your mouth like you're not appreciating food. There's something about food we have to have a relationship with, and it's another irritant, and it's just a pet peeve of mine, honestly, when people don't appreciate, taking the time to appreciate that somebody cooked that food, that there's an energy in that food, and to have an experience with it. You know, it's okay to put forearms on the table. That's all right. And, you know, if there's certain kinds of cultures that eat in certain ways, that's perfectly acceptable. But it seems to me that I see this a lot more now as people are just, you know, horking their food back. And to me, that's a reflection of how they might conduct their life or, you know, or relationships. It's a reflection of something else. Take your time eating. Enjoy your company. Enjoy, you know, the food that you're eating, and just, again, that appreciation. So that's something that I just wanted to take a little step further here. And, like, don't chew with your mouth open. It's just not cool. I don't care who you are. It's not acceptable. My son had a really bad habit of that. And finally, when he was 17, I said, you know what? I give up. People, I wonder who your mother is. I know it. But one day, son, you're going to meet a girl, and she's going to ask you to chew your food with your mouth closed. And that's exactly what happened. So, hey, at least he can have better manners.
Right. So use good sense when you're...
Yeah, it's just all those little things.
Be gracious.
You know, that is, I love that word, gracious. To have grace, to be gracious, and that doesn't mean, you know, complacent. It doesn't mean that, you know, we become subservient in any way. It quite the opposite. It's just taking those moments to remember that, and, you know, you've said it too, Doug Lutz, we're in the relationship business. All of us are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are relating to people. So we have to know about our own, you know, what kind of energy we put out. I made a comment, you know, to my oldest daughter not long ago that knowing what I know now, you know, approaching 60, is that I wished I had trained animals before I had kids to understand how important body language really is. I mean, I took courses on it. I went to Toastmasters. I did all that stuff. But even a little gesture of a hand or, you know, a raise of an eyebrow or, you know, turning your body to the side or crossing your arms in the front, you know, all those things, animals just react to the physical gestures like it's a signal. But we don't realize that people are reacting that way too, except we're too busy in our heads trying to figure things out, and we're assuming people don't mean this, or we're assuming they do mean that. But if we can just become more conscientious of our own body language and how we are, like if you're really gangly and, you know, awkward, put your hands in your pocket, you know, or have a jacket, you know, we'd stick your little, you know, fingers in the side, or but don't put one hand on your hip and the other hand up. And it's because it's an aggressive movement. It's an aggressive motion. So be aware of those little things in body language, you know, and even facial expressions. Watch those things because people are reacting, even if you don't mean it. You know, you have a good intent, but your body is saying something quite different. So I would say this is when people get in your body, live from the inside out, not the outside in, if that makes any sense. So,
all right. So let's switch gears a little bit. We're going to get into on the subject of etiquette during anomalous investigations. We have about 11 minutes or so left.
Yeah.
There's not a lot I'm going to cover here. I mean, it's all pretty basic. I mean, everything we've already talked about comes into play, but when you're doing anomalous investigations, especially when quite often you're going to somebody's house or you're dealing with people, you're interviewing witnesses and things like that, or you're doing an investigation in their house or their home or whatever, just, you know, keep your good manners in the forefront. Greet them, be professional, introduce yourself. When it comes to etiquette, let's talk about personal appearance and grooming.
Oh,
make sure you look
one.
Good. You know, look professional. Don't look like you fell off the turnip truck. You know, dress properly, make sure you're groomed and you look good, you're clean, you know, all that stuff.
What you wear is what you're selling.
Yeah, so...
Absolutely.
You know, just make a good impression when you're in their home. You know, treat it like... treat it better than it was your own. You know, if you have to move furniture or anything to put camera equipment or anything like that, always make sure you put it back where it was and be very careful with it. When you're lugging in equipment in the house, watch the walls. You know, you don't want to nick the paint, the doors, and that sort of thing. When you use tape, if you're going to tape things down, make sure you use a tape that's not going to leave residue on whatever you put it on. Keep the cords, any cables, cords you've got, go and keep them out of the walkway so nobody trips on them, including your investigators. If you're wherever you're at, when you leave, there should be no evidence that you were ever there. There should be no cigarette butts out in the street or in the yard or wherever. There should be no trash, no nothing like that. So pick up everything and take it with you and get it out of there and leave the place pristine. those are some of the most common ones. If you're doing an investigation, make sure you let the people know up front what to expect, how long you'll be there, when you'll be going, that kind of a thing. Communicate. You know, lack of communication will kill any relationship. The biggest problem with customer service is a lack of communication. And so communicate with people, get back. And let's talk about email once real quick. If somebody sends you an email, try to respond to them ASAP. Get back to them as quick as possible. And if you need time before you can actually answer their questions, whatever it may be, email them and say, I'm working on it. Give me a little time to research it, and I'll get right back to you if you can't get back to them immediately. So let them know. Communicate. Trying to think of some other. Oh, let's talk about etiquette with potential spirits. You know, there's some groups that, you know, like to provoke, you know, come on out and play. We want to see a ghost, that kind of stuff. That is ridiculous.
Oh,
it's unprofessional, and it's treating them like objects. And spirits are no different than you and me. They're people. Treat them like people. Don't provoke. Don't be mean. You know, don't.
That's a parlor game. That's, yeah. I think, the approach. You know, it's the, if you're approaching it like it's a parlor game, you know, for one thing, not likely anything's going to happen. But the others, if it does happen, it might be a little shock to the system if you think it's a game. You know, where then people start conjuring up stuff in their minds. So approach it respectfully. It's quite simple.
Yes, be respectful of the dead and the living. Just spirits are people. Treat them like that. Be courteous, well-mannered, things like that. So I can't think of anything off. Just, you know, do a good job. Just be good. Make a good impression. Pick up your messes. That kind of a thing. Don't, you know, just make a good impression. There's not much else to say about that.
It's really about being self-responsible, isn't it? Doesn't it go right back to, you know, the life leadership paragon about being self-responsible?
Mm-hmm.
And it, just so many things play into that. Take care of yourself. When you take care of yourself, you're taking care of people around you. The thing is to be perceptive and just reminding yourself to be perceptive of how you're being received by
mm-hmm.
other people.
All right, so we have a few minutes left. I want to do some announcements as well. Tonight's show is going to probably be the last show for this year. Next week is Thanksgiving in the U.S., and then the holidays are next month. We're going to take a hiatus at least to around the first of the year, and then we'll announce when we'll be back. So we won't be having a show through the rest of November and through December. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Also, I wanted to update everyone, if you've been following some of these conversations on our first physical center here in Northport, Florida, that I've been preparing and getting ready for the last month or so. I've got a start date when we're going to have our first weekly service, and that's going to now be January 6th. It's the first Tuesday in January. So if you happen to be in this area, if you're listening to the archives and you happen to live in Sarasota, Port Charlotte, Englewood, Venice, Fort Myers even, if you weren't around this area, you know, visit metaphysicalhumanism.org and you'll see information there for Northport Center of Metaphysical Humanism. For those of you in the listening live, I'm going to put the web address in there if you want to take a look. And if you look closely at the header area, there's a link there for some pictures that I've posted that you can take a look at, and I'll post some more as we continue to make preparations. But I do have it up on meetup.com, and I'm going to be promoting it through Craigslist to let people in the area know. But we're going to be doing live webcasts, video webcasts from the center, and so there'll be more information on the page that I just gave everybody. It's basically the Northport Center page on metaphysicalhumanism.org. In fact, you can go to metaphysicalhumanism.org/Northport, one word, and it'll take you to the same to the same page I'm talking about here. So those video broadcasts, live video broadcasts, will be available. They'll be on Tuesday evenings, local time here, Eastern time, at 7:30 p.m. They're going to last 45 minutes to an hour. It's going to be a similar format. We'll talk about spiritual growth for the first 15 or 20 minutes. We'll have a profession of beliefs. Then we're going to switch gears and have a segment on exploring the unknown. We'll try to have a speaker who will talk on anomalous events, or we'll have a group discussion on some anomalous topic. We even have a monitor. I've got a 50-inch LCD, that's plasma TV, up on the wall for Skype speakers. Dr. Hunter will be participating with us via Skype, and so you'll be able to see her mug there. on the monitor.
Do my hair.
Yeah, and so it'll be an interesting switch, and so we haven't made any decisions as far as this radio show goes, but we may switch it over just to the video broadcast. But we'll make those decisions in the upcoming month or so, and let you know. Of course, there'll be archives for the videos as well. So that's
exciting changes. You know, everything's an evolution. Mm-hmm. And, you know, been at this now for a few years and taking the next steps. So it's growing and going, we're progressing.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I mean, I've had students who wanted to open up a satellite center. And, you know, the center is effectively a metaphysical church. It's what we are. We're a religious organization. And I've had students who've wanted to do that and still have. Well, we haven't developed that side of things to the extent yet where we can have these satellite centers. Well, that's the purpose of this first location, is to develop the formatting, the program, and the way we do things. I'm going to be finishing the Enchiridion of metaphysical humanism over hopefully the next month, but it might take a little longer. And you know, we've got a Sacred Obligations book that I'm going to write. It discusses the beliefs, and it gives a recipe, a methodology for a healthy spiritual philosophy. And so that's the purpose of this center, is to develop it so that we can expand. And that's what I'm really doing it for. If we're going to help the most people possible, we've got to expand this organization. It's got to grow, and we have to get more people on board, buying into the vision, because I want to change the world, folks. That's what I'm doing this for. I'm not doing this because, you know, I have nothing better to do. I don't really have anything better to do. But that's because this is what I choose to do. You know, I want to change the world. So if you agree with what we're doing, you know, jump on board, support. We unfortunately, in this world, it takes financial resources to do any. And in order to grow it, we've got to grow awareness. We've got to make more people aware. We've got to increase donations. We've got to do it so that we can spread that around. And we're doing as much as we can with what we got. We're offering hardship scholarships at the schools. We have been ever since the day one. You know, nobody's getting rich around here, but we do need resources in order to grow this organization to where we can reach the entire world. And that's why I'm doing this. Even if nobody shows up the first meeting, doesn't matter, I'll be there. And Mike will be there too. Yeah, Vicky will be there because I'm making them. But
I think Grant's going to join us that day too, isn't he? Grant Rubenstein.
Yeah, he'll do a presentation on ufology. So
exciting.
Anyway, that's what's going on with that. And hopefully you've enjoyed these. And if we don't do the radio anymore, we will be there on the video. So either way, we hope that you'll continue to be with us and be a part of this whole thing, because it's a good thing. And it helps a lot of people. It changes lives. Anyway, until next time, I hope that you will listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Have a great end of the year, folks. Good night.
Good night.